And today I'm talking with someone I've known for years who first came to me as a one-on-one client. He's a language and life coach who's also a polyglot, a musician, and a writer, and someone who I would call a friend, Walter Freiberg. And today we're talking about the psychological aspect of your accent. I hope you enjoy the show.
I'm Bianca, your personal American accent coach, and I'm here to help you master an American accent in English because your voice is your choice when it comes to how you sound. I try to release a podcast episode every 2 weeks. And so you should really subscribe to whatever podcast platform you use so that you don't miss the newest episode. And by the way, if you want to see the full video of the episode, it's available at Accent Coach Bianca on YouTube. Now, let's get on with the show.
Well, welcome everybody. Today, I'm really excited to talk to somebody I haven't seen in a while. We were just talking and we haven't seen each other in over a year, right, Walter?
Right.
It's been a while, and you have had some changes, I would say, in your teaching and what you're helping people with. So if people have heard the episode that you and I had a while ago, they might be interested to hear your update. So maybe you can give yourself an introduction for everybody who doesn't know you and kind of update people who have heard about you from before.
Sure. So first, thank you for inviting me again, Bianca. It's a pleasure to be being here. I'm Walter Freiberg. I'm a life coach and language coach. I'm originally from Buenos Aires, Argentina, and based in Uruguay since 2022. And a new part that Bianca mentioned is that something new that I started doing in 2024 is life coaching. And I'm so glad that I'm combining languages and life coaching.
Wait. Walter, can I stop you for a second? Did you mean like F like Friday life coaching or live with a V, live coaching? Because sometimes people make a mistake. So I just wanted to clarify for everybody.
That's a good one. I mean, life coaching with an F.
Okay. Thank you. That's perfect. Okay. And I remember when we used to talk, the thing I remember first about you is I was very interested because you were doing something that not a lot of people did, which was you were coaching Spanish, but a very specific accent. Can you tell people what that name of that specific accent is in Spanish and kind of like just a little bit about it?
Yeah, so I do part of the language coaching work that I do is accent coaching, and it's Rioplatense Spanish, and that's a Spanish spoken mainly in parts of Argentina and Uruguay. And so that's what I do in terms of Rioplatense Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a name that a lot of people might not have heard of before, unless they've heard your episode with me earlier. And I was always intrigued about that because it was so specific. And it was an accent that I thought, oh, yeah, maybe certain people are really going for that specific accent. Because like in English, you know, you have so many different accents in Spanish. And every once in a while, somebody will tell me like, oh, yes, I'd like a California accent or a Texan accent. But most people, at least in English that I encounter, are looking for kind of a general or standard American accent so they can be kind of understood better in general. But who are the kind of people that might want this accent?
Well, there's people who moved to Argentina or Uruguay, so people who relocated here, or maybe they have a significant other who are from Argentina, Uruguay, or maybe mm-hmm. they just like the accent because mm-hmm. they think that it's cool, or maybe they like soccer, they like Messi, or they like, I don't know, they just like how it sounds, and that's the choice they made. Many reasons.
So this could be people whose first language is actually Spanish or people whose maybe second or third language is also Spanish.
Oh, that's a great question. And I'd say that I work mainly with people whose first language is not Spanish. But I know that there are people from other countries in South America or Spain, and especially actors or mm-hmm. people who moved to Argentina. And I've talked to a number of them. They want to learn the accent maybe to fit in more socially. And so they want to, there's certain perks that come with speaking the same accent as everybody else. Mm-hmm, and so mm-hmm. I say that I have worked more with people who are learning Spanish as a second language or a third language.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of why I wanted to ask is because our whole theme today is about language and identity and how we feel about these things. And I wanted to also mention, if you don't mind, that I would consider you a polyglot. And so how, if you don't mind telling us, how do you feel yourself about that idea of fitting in, you know, by using language or accent? And how important is that to you maybe personally when you're learning other languages?
Well, to me, it's very important. And for different reasons. And I have a strong connection with music. I play the piano and I like singing. And so that's something that's interesting to me, learning the accent and learning the sounds and trying to get better at it and practice. So it's something that I see as fun, and it's a challenge, but it's a challenge that I'm very willing to take. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I had my first experiences in that intersection of language learning and identity and the good things that can come up with that, and especially with English. And maybe I haven't thought about that for many years, something connected to the accent, but mostly of learning the language as a way of embodying some part of that culture or spirit. And in my case, when I became a business owner and I started writing my ebooks and creating audiobooks, so that was connected to this entrepreneurship that we typically associate with the United States. And so my entrepreneur self got so connected to that way of being. And so that was something important to me. And then with other languages, maybe I found other ways of creating that connection between the identity and then with the accent.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like you're just embracing a certain, maybe even set of values with a language or a dialect or a specific accent, you know. And sometimes to me, that kind of comes with model speakers, right? Somebody who speaks the language that I would kind of like to speak like. Maybe it's all about how they speak, or maybe it's a little bit of this person, a little bit of that person, you know. So I think, yeah, we always have these ideas about ourselves and we can't really kind of undo them. It's really difficult to undo them. And speaking of this specific dialect that you were talking about, Rio Platense, didn't you also have like an Italian client too that kind of embodied this idea of identity and accent?
Oh yeah. So one of the persons I worked with that was in 20, he absolutely loved soccer. He was from Italy and he had learned Spanish, but he had learned it in Spain, or the teachers he had were from Spain, but he was very passionate about Argentina. Mm. And this is something that I observed frequently among native Italians, especially uh-huh. those who are learning Spanish. They know that Argentina is a big part of Argentina. There we had a lot of immigration. And mm-hmm. so they feel like, just as Argentinians, we are connected to Italy, they feel like uh-huh. they're connected to Argentinians because like mm-hmm. maybe great parents had mm-hmm. emigrated to Argentina. Mm-hmm. And so what I noticed, that this person, the main reason he wanted to learn the Rio Platense accent was he just loved the soccer, Argentinian soccer leagues. And uh-huh. he was a fan of Maradona, Messi, Di Maria, all those players. And he wanted to be more like them. And he even liked, what's the word for like the person who is, when you're listening to a soccer match on the radio, what's that word?
Uh-huh. The person who's like telling you about what's happening, that yeah. word? Oh, commentator. A person who's making the comments commentator.
Uh-huh. Commentator. So yeah. he really liked listening to Argentinian commentators in soccer. And because he watched, part of the work we did was with interviews from Messi, Di Maria, and these players, but also just the work of watching and having specific role models in specific commentators. So that was mm-hmm. part of the work that we did. And it was very connected to something that was important and meaningful to him. And soccer yeah. is big in Italy as well. And yeah.
Uh-huh. That actually makes me want to talk about mindset and motivation too. But first, do you mind if I tell you a little story about soccer and Spanish? I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before. Okay. So when about, what are we, 2025? Now we're recording in January 2025, one of the first podcasts of the year. And now it's been about 25 years. So 25 years ago, I had a brain tumor. I don't know if I ever told you this. I had a brain tumor. It was gigantic. It was the size of a chicken egg inside of my head. And it was so big, they wouldn't touch it with radiation. So the only thing they could do was surgery. And it was behind my left ear. That's why I'm deaf in my left ear now. And it was on the hearing and balance nerve. So imagine this tumor is wrapped around my nerve. And the only thing they can do is cut the nerve to get it out, right? So it's 15-hour surgery, I think. I don't remember. I woke up in the hospital room and I thought I was blind. Because they said, we don't know what's going to happen in surgery. we just don't know, right? Like, we don't know enough about the brain to know what the side effects are going to be. So I woke up, I couldn't see, I thought I was blind. I thought, oh, okay. They said, maybe you'll lose your memories. We don't know if you're going to be able to speak, you know, we just don't know. So I woke up, I thought I was blind. And the only thing I could hear in my room, my hospital room, was Spanish being spoken. And people were, I thought it was Spanish anyways. I had never taken Spanish, but I assumed it was Spanish. And I could hear people kind of yelling and stuff like that. And I was very confused. Why are people yelling in Spanish in my room? Turns out somebody had the TV on and they were watching soccer. And I could hear applause and screaming and things like that. And so I just remember for the first few days, because what it was, I had bandages around my head and I couldn't see because of that. But I just remember this connection with Spanish and specifically with soccer. I don't know if it was Argentinian, I would not have known. But whenever I hear soccer in Spanish, it just brings me back to being in the hospital. And so I think it's kind of a weird story, but I think we all have these associations, like you were saying, oh, they're associated with their family having come over, you know, or a distant uncle or something. And so we always have connections to this. And that's part of what shapes our identity with a language or a dialect or an accent, you know, and these things kind of run deep. And they could be some of the reasons for our motivation. Like you said, this guy really wants to listen to these commentators. He wants to squeeze maybe every bit out that he can, even if he himself doesn't want to be a soccer player. So let's talk a little bit about motivation and mindset. Like, how do we feel about identity and accent and the kind of psychological aspect of working on our accent in another language? Could be Spanish, could be English. You know, what are your thoughts on motivation and mindset?
I think they play a big part. And one of the things that I really like about my meditation, when he's a Buddhist, and maybe people from the audience are familiar with take on Buddhism and desire, like desire is not a good thing. And he says, even as a Buddhist, he says, you need to want it. If you want to make progress in the spiritual path, you need to want it. And so that's something that there are some wants that can be good. And in terms of those of us who are motivated or who want to reduce our foreign accent, we want to have a more native sound accent. Mm-hmm. The first thing is wanting to do it. And yeah, if you don't want it enough, and if you don't want it, we're not going to put in the work. But there's another thing, and it's that we need to believe that it's possible for us, or that it's even possible, and then that it's even possible for us, right?
Uh-huh. Because maybe I used to have this ex who would also always say, oh, I want to be a rock star, right? Like, okay, you should probably practice the guitar a little more, you know? And it was this pie in the sky kind of dream for him that he always used to say. And so wanting something is one thing, but also believing that you can do it and then taking action, I feel like those need to come together, you know? And what you were saying earlier about motivation, I wanted to add something I thought about, because also I have a friend who is Buddhist and very much into meditation. And this happens with my clients. I don't know if this has happened to you or someone you know, but sometimes when you want something very much, it kind of blocks you, you know, because the desire kind of gets in the way and you feel so strongly about it that you're kind of like blocked actually from making the progress that you actually want. So it can also kind of work against you. But tell me more about motivation in your case.
So that's a great point. And I agree that's something that sometimes we want it too much, and that can be problematic. And I think that it's important to being realistic in terms of what we can do and setting realistic goals and pace ourselves. It's not that we need to make overnight changes and that we have time and that we can take it one step at a time. And I think that it's so important to celebrate the small wins that we are conquering along the path. And I think that's so important. So I truly believe that it's good to get pumped to do it and to want it. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, it doesn't have to be in a week or in a few days. We can take our time and we can just do it one step at a time.
Yeah. And two things that makes me think of. Number one, you said, oh yeah, you've got to want it, right? But let's also remember that you don't have to want all of it. You know, you can want a little bit of something. Like, everybody's kind of level or bar is at a different place. And that's totally fine. You know, for some people, they're just having trouble with comprehension. They know that people can't understand what they're saying. And for some people, they mastered comprehension a long time ago, but they're really just working on getting those idioms out just right or making their timing perfect. I knew this guy who wanted to be a stand-up comedian. wow, that takes a lot of practice, you know. So his bar is totally different from somebody else because it's like it's all about then the timing and saying something right, or maybe even you knowing you're making a mistake and using it to your advantage, right? If you're a stand-up comic, you could use that to your advantage probably. And the other thing that I was going to say about motivation was that I see this happen a lot. Like I have one client in particular who gets very frustrated with herself, right? She's making a lot of progress, but she doesn't see it, right? So she's often very frustrated with herself. And actually, maybe we should come back to talk about her later, because I want to bring her up again in a minute when we talk about motivation. But first, what have been some maybe milestones for you? Because I know, you know, you weren't always this great at speaking English, you know, the way you want to speak, but there must have been a point where you looked back and you were like, I did it. This is what I wanted.
For me, it was trying to sound more professional. And I think that I didn't have big issues with in terms of comprehension and being understood when I was interacting with other speakers. And in my case, it started more like an aspiration. I wanted to use English in my conversations. And I thought that when I started doing some accent coaching training that I worked with you, Bianca, it was great. And I felt really empowered. And I think that was something meaningful and something significant in the path that I took. And at the same time, I remember before that, I worked in different moments and with different coaches and trainers. I remember that at one point when I was sharing with you about, I don't know, maybe that was before, after our coaching or before, I don't know, but in interactions that we had, that you encouraged me to create a podcast in English, or that you were always very supportive.
I would like to ask you, that being said, Walter, where would you say you have your own personal bar? Like, how do you decide that for yourself?
That's a great question. And I think that's sometimes there are things that I choose myself, and there are other things that are maybe they were recommended or they were suggested by coaches, by teachers. And at the same time, so just as I see opportunities for improvement in myself, and there are things that I can recognize, this is something like I need to clearly work on this. And there are other things that I cannot see. Maybe a coach can point out those things. I think something similar happens in terms of motivation. We were talking before, mindset motivation and the role of internal motivation and external motivation. Usually it's a good thing to have our inner resources in terms of motivation and develop our inner motivation. And I think that's great. At the same time, I think it's not bad to use external sources of motivation. For example, when working with a coach, I had that experience myself working with you, Bianca, and other great accent coaches. I got external validation, and that was motivating when an experienced coach tells me that I'm doing, there's certain things that I'm doing well. It's not terrible. There are a few things that I'm doing well. There are certain sounds that are working right now. Of course, there are things that I can improve upon. And at the same time, something I remember that when in one of our conversations, and I was sharing, that was before starting my podcast in Spanish, that I was sharing with you this idea, making a podcast, I'm not sure if it's going to be in Spanish or English. And I remember that you said something like, you could do this in English. Like, any of those words is like, it's not a limitation. Like, don't limit yourself just on the language, and you can absolutely do that. And so something that I wanted to mention here in terms of motivation is also when sometimes can be important when others are seeing possibilities in ourselves that maybe we haven't seen ourselves yet. So, and that's when the coach or the teacher, somebody else, an external source comes to the rescue sometimes.
It's funny that you say that, because on my side, like as a coach, you know, I saw you, this was years ago. This was 4 years ago, probably at least. I literally, you and I were talking and I was like, well, of course you can do that in English. Like the question shouldn't be, could I do a podcast in English? For you, the question should be, do I want to? Is it pleasurable for me? Do I feel like that's the right audience for me, right? It wasn't even a question. And it kind of surprised me that it was a question for you, because I think from the outside, we see things differently and we don't know always how people feel on the inside, right? Like, because if you're doing something well, somebody else is doing something well, you recognize that. We do really well with praise and encouragement. And what do I want to say? acknowledgement, right? We get, when we're acknowledged for something, that tends to really spur something in us. And I also feel like, how did this person not know this? How did they not see it themselves? It's so obvious, you know, to me sometimes. So it's really interesting to hear you say that. It was, I wasn't there yet. I didn't see it myself yet. Those are the three little letters that make all the difference, right? Sometimes we fool ourselves into believing or telling ourselves a story that might not be true for other people. You know what I mean?
It's also connected to this idea of what's possible for me. Maybe we see other people and believe that they are talented. But that's something that others can do. And that's not something that we can do. And at the same time, I truly believe that there's work and there's hope in terms of improvement. And that can take many forms. And it doesn't have to mean that everybody is going to be native. It's going to sound native-like. And it doesn't matter. It's just getting better and getting, working on what we are able to do right now in order to be able to do it a bit better tomorrow and the next week.
Yeah, all these psychological effects that are combined with how we feel about how we speak, I think they're all really interesting. I feel like we just keep bringing up the same topics, you know, again and again and again. And one of those is like, yeah, us seeing possibilities in ourselves that maybe we're blind to too. This is so obvious to other people. So speaking of like seeing in yourself, maybe you wanted to mention the idea that a visualization or something else that you might have thought about regarding that.
Yeah. So in terms of visualization, I think that definitely can play a role. It's not required. It's not that everybody has to do it, but I like this idea of seeing like a picture of a future self speaking in a certain way or performing more comfortably. And this is something that I recently, I think it was a couple months ago, that I heard about like an exercise, like before a meeting, let's say before a Zoom meeting that I have in English, before a conversation, taking just a couple minutes and deeply believing that I will be confident. And it doesn't have to be like I will sound perfect, but how I want to feel, like what type of feeling do I want to bring. That also I think that it can count as a form of visualization, or it's like we are preparing ourselves.
Yeah.
And sometimes what the way we feel as we're having a conversation, if I feel confident, that will make me sound better sometimes. And if I'm feeling discouraged or I don't feel very confident, so that it's like that takes my self-esteem, that it's on the floor right now, and that's gonna have an impact on how I'm speaking or how relaxed I feel. I will feel anxious. And so I think there's a place for that.
It's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Like if I feel bad, or if I think I'm gonna feel bad, then I probably will, you know. And if I feel great, and this is going to be great, like it probably will. And maybe not even objectively, but subjectively, like you're going to feel that, you know. And here we are at the beginning of 2025. One of the 2024 word of the years was actually manifest. I don't know if you saw that list, but there's the word manifest. So I feel like that's appropriate here. Like we're kind of manifesting that to happen by visualizing it beforehand. And do you ever feel like, for your own kind of journey, how did you ever kind of visualize yourself or see yourself in advance of where you wanted to be? And then you kind of like made that happen?
Yeah. So one other word that came for me besides manifestation was like priming, or that's a verb. Mm-hmm. Like I'm priming myself for, I want to feel a certain way. So I'm priming like when I'm having before an important conversation or a meeting, that's something that I might do. Mm-hmm. And I remember that in 2023, I think that was before the first episode that we recorded together.
For the podcast,
and I remember that I was at the Polygon gathering and I gave this presentation in Poland, and it was in Italian and in German. I gave that presentation in these two languages.
Oh, wow.
And I remember that speaking about others, seeing possibilities in ourselves. Mm-hmm. I remember that there was a person who said that I could do that presentation. Mm-hmm. That was on skill building, creating skill building projects in foreign languages. And that person said that they saw me doing such a presentation or doing any type of presentation. And then when I shared that I was about to do that, that I had submitted my application for that talk, I remember there were people who were like encouraging me and supporting me in that. And I think that also gave me more confidence at the time of giving that, delivering that, that adaptation. And I think that sometimes, and something that I'm thinking right now in terms of motivation or feel, or in terms of confidence, when we are sharing that we are going to do something, also it matters the people we're sharing it with. So I already knew, and I know who to share this news with, right?
People who you're probably going to get positive feedback from about it, right?
I'm not sharing this with somebody who thinks, do you really think that you're going to be able to do this in German, in Italian? And this is like the first time.
Why wouldn't you're gonna stand on a stage? Really? You think you're ready for that? Lots of doubt.
Why wouldn't you do that? And why haven't you picked Spanish or English? Because that was my choice. It's not that they asked me to do that in those languages. That's something that's a challenge that I took. Yeah. But I know whom I can share this with. I think that also adds to the motivation and to the positive feelings that then we get to experience and to feel in that
exactly
situation.
Oh, totally, totally. And that kind of reminds me of when we were talking about motivation, progress, visualization, setting the bar, things like that. That reminded me kind of this one client that I have she's an actress and she's kind of hard on herself, but she has made a lot of progress, right? And I'll say, yes, you can do this. You can totally do this script, you know, in an American accent. Or recently she wanted to do like a cowboy script. And so we would have to change and say, and you know, she's learning a few new words and things like that. But I noticed we were doing this cowboy script and, you know, she's always looking for what's wrong. And we got through this kind of long kind of monologue part of this. And, you know, I was like, oh, you know, when you said the word girl, it sounded like girl, there was no R in there, you know, so I was pointing out a couple of things where it could be better. And I said, but, you know, did you notice, like, throughout the whole script, there's plenty of R's in there, and that's the only one that you missed. And I said, not only that, notice when you said, I think it was attitude was the word in the script, attitude. I said, did you notice how good your ah was there? And I think another word was does, right? And she always used to say doze. And I'm like, you're not even noticing all the great things. You're only noticing the negative things. So she's putting a lot of energy, you know, into that herself, right? So I feel like this idea of who we share information with, right? And that could be ourselves too. How we kind of judge ourselves can in turn kind of create feelings for how we feel about ourselves and the language. Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah, I think that happened many times. It still keeps happening. And this idea of what I'm trying to correct every single thing or not seeing what's going well. Yeah, that still happens. And then again, I think that it's good to be careful with the type of company we have. And especially when we are, this is something that maybe is not so talked about in terms of language practice. When we are really careful on picking our language exchanges and our conversation partners, our tandem partners, there's people who are going to be more acknowledging than others. And there's people who might be very harsh on our accent or on our pronunciation. And we might even get unsolicited advice. And that's not great. And sometimes people feel like, oh, but they're helping me learn the language. So I need to continue doing this. And it can be potentially harmful in terms of self-esteem and what we see possible for ourselves. Or people maybe they keep doing certain types of corrections, or they give in certain feedback that maybe is not so important to me. And so that might be another conversation, maybe a different
that'll be our next episode perhaps.
That would be our next one maybe.
And that And that makes me think of how, like, if you feel bad in one area, that can kind of transfer over into another area, right? So, like, what might happen if somebody says something to me about something that, like, especially unsolicited advice, let me say that better. If somebody makes a remark, let's say, especially if I'm not prepared for it, then I might suddenly feel bad about that, and that might make me think other things about my language too. You know, I find sometimes that transfers. Have you found that to be true?
Yeah, I had a couple conversations with English learners. So there was a person from Argentina, for example, someone from Uruguay, and they were saying some things like along the lines of, I need work, I have work to do in terms of my English skills because my accent is not quite there. So what they were saying is like their English skills were not solid or were not good enough. In speaking terms, they were maybe confusing like the grammar and vocab and general language skills with accent. So they were saying, okay, so I can speak English, but I'm not fluent. And what they meant is that they speak English with an accent. In my opinion, those are two very different things.
Exactly.
I don't
Yeah,
know what your thoughts are around that.
I think that we have a tendency to like correlate things together that don't necessarily go together. For example, some people might have heard of this thing called the halo effect. This is something that I've heard, or halo bias even, is, for example, if I see that you're very polite and you open the door for me, I don't even know you, but I might think, oh, he must be a very good father, right? Like we just associate these good characteristics or qualities that maybe have no direct relationship, right? And the same is true. We've got the halo effect, like a halo on an angel. And then we've got this other thing we discovered is called the horn effect, right? So angels and devils. And so the horn effect is that, well, if I have this one thing that's negative, all these other things must be negative too, when in reality, maybe their vocabulary is outstanding. Maybe their grammar is always on point and they have amazing sentence structure and things like that. But because they feel bad about their accent, maybe somebody made a comment or it's just an internal feeling, then they feel like, oh, well, my skills in the language must not be as good. You know, I think that's kind of like what we're talking about is this correlation. And then we feel like we're judging ourselves to be lacking, right? Like almost we feel terrible almost as a person. Why? Because I just need some more skills in one area or another, you know, or somebody made a comment. So I feel like this underlying psychological effect between language and accent or dialect, like we said, is there's often a fear. You know, a lot of even motivation sometimes is coming from fear as well, like fear of judgment and maybe feeling like you're not perfect or feeling like you are a perfectionist. And so that also might be causing these things. Have you ever had any issues with that for yourself or clients or anything like that?
Yes, I have those issues myself, and I've seen that many times over with clients. And I think that this fear might be, I think that there is something that we tend to do. Most of us tend to judge people's language skills based on their accent and their pronunciation. And so this is like a common practice for most of us. And we do that even unconsciously. It's like we can help it. It's
And you
something that
know,
we just do.
totally. And I want to interrupt you for a quick second, only because it doesn't end there, right? We've seen many studies that are where somebody is judged on their accent, right? So not only do you then assume that their language skills are not high, then it goes all the way to things like personality, work performance, things like that. Like we've seen these associations made time and time again, even on paper. Like we've seen studies that prove this over and over again, and it sucks. So there's a real probably base for that fear. Like I fear I'm going to be judged. Well, you know, because often we are, like we all are, even in our first language too. You know, it's not to say that like, oh, a general American accent, having a good one is going to make you sound better. No, even in the US, I'm sure you're aware, like if you have a certain accent from a certain place, there's prejudice that exists there, right? There's bias. These things totally exist. But I feel like for our own mental health, I would say it's probably good to talk about the fear of judgment and the perfectionism that might be causing some problems here. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So as you said, there's might be occasions in which maybe people are might fear that they are not taking us, they fear that others might think that they are not professional enough, or that because they have an accent, maybe they don't know is not that maybe they might be judged on their general language skills, but maybe they don't even know how to do their work at a certain level, or maybe that is like, that might be an indicator or that they are not willing to study or learn or putting the time, and they are not going to be performing as they should.
Right.
And what I observe is that there's no, I haven't observed any correlation, because I think that there's part of that in terms of the accent and pronunciation. There's a part of that that's connected to a musical ear and some innate talent. And there's people who need more time. There's people who need less time. There's, at the same time, there's some skills that maybe I've seen over time that sometimes part of the work that we do, and or at least that's what I observed in my practice as an accent coach, is that includes also helping people to get better at listening. For example, we haven't, I think that we have talked in the about this in the other episode we did together, the relationship between music or the music training, ear training, and accent modification. And so I think that there's might be a place there, but going back to the fear of judgment and perfectionism, I think that it's, as you said, it's healthy to avoid falling for that, and keep in mind what's the direction we are taking. There's so much we can do for the judgment that's comes from outside, and we cannot control the how others are judging us. It can be very unfair in many situations, especially in professional settings and in other occasions. And at the same time, there are things that we can do to develop our confidence and the way we show up. And that might be something useful in terms to counteract that those tendencies. So as we were talking before, I think it's not about having or getting to nailing a perfect native-like accent. It's about working on specific things and like with a focus on more and communication, and that we can interact with other people, that when we are speaking, others can understand us. And then everything we can do in addition to that is like a cherry on top of the cake. Kind of, it's like,
yes, we can grow from there. And I think what I'm hearing is, like you said, it's about communication, but also connection, right? Connecting with other people. And usually that's something that makes us feel really good. So if I can create a connection with you, then that's something that makes me feel good. And if we're talking about the psychology behind this and how I feel and how I feel you might be feeling, for connection, I would say, and communication, I feel like are both things that would really go hand in hand. And I think you said earlier, like, this doesn't happen overnight. You know, I think maybe the thing to focus on is looking at ourselves and how we're feeling, and also the actual progress that we might be able to measure can happen very incrementally, right? Little tiny things, as long as you're working at it. I think that might be the thing we need to measure. Did I work on this? Not did I succeed or not, but how do I feel about it? And how do I feel about me working on it? Because sometimes we forget to kind of like applaud our hard work too. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And a lot of this maybe comes down to, go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry. So I was thinking that that's a very important point as well. Acknowledging the work that we've been doing and the practice we've been doing. This is something that takes time and it can be slow. It can take months, or sometimes it can take years. We don't know. And depending on the person, depending on the aspirations that each one of us has. And at the same time, there's progress and there's transformation. And I can tell you a little story about how I experienced some of those changes over time. And please, especially in terms of the psychological part. So I remember that something that was very useful for me in terms of my English and my confidence speaking English, and also I would say in terms of getting more comfortable with the way that I sounded, was participating at Toastmasters meetings. And so for those of you who don't know Toastmasters, this is an organization that's worldwide. It's about developing public speaking and leadership skills. And you do that in a very friendly environment, very supportive environment. And I think that makes all the difference. Back in the day when I practiced, that was in between 2015 and 2018. I think that was, I was participating in the Toastmasters Club in Buenos Aires. We had English meetings every other week. And I participated for a number of years. And I remember changes the way that I saw myself, starting from, I used to see myself as an introvert and shy person. And there are conversations around introversion and shyness, like differences. In practical terms, let's say that shyness is more like the fear of speaking, not feeling comfortable speaking in front of others. Introversion might be more of a preference that we have and the way that we prefer to spend our time. We feel good when we are on our own, like reading books and stuff like that, right? And so I noticed that at Toastmasters, when we were sharing that space and when I wasn't being judged on my English skills or my pronunciation, I also could see that other participants, there were many non-native speakers. There were some some natives. And there were visitors from the, what I call Toastmasters tourism. But if you go visit other countries and you go to the Toastmasters Club, you know? And so we had people from the States or Europe, other countries that they had great English. And we didn't compare ourselves to others. We each one was on their own journey. We were trying to get better and we were helping each other in that journey. And none of us were teachers or accent coaches, and we still had feedback to share, constructive criticism. And we tried our best to create that supportive environment. And I think that that played a big part on developing that confidence. And that goes beyond the accent or beyond the general skills. And I often say, like, when I did that presentation in 2023, that was my first presentation in German and Italian. I remember that I had already like 4 years of experience giving presentations. Okay, they were in English, in a different language, but I had so many positive associations with being in front of others and speaking in public. There's no chance that I would feel bad or because it was too much, too much, too many positive experiences. And so that I had, when I had to give that that talk in German and Italian, it went really well. And I remember that I didn't even feel nervous about that because I had already done that too many times. Even with small audiences, it doesn't matter if there are 10 people or 15. I think that what matters most is that people were interested in what they were listening to. At the end of every speech that we gave at Toastmasters, they clapped their hands. And sometimes they had some, there were so many incentives getting together with people after the meetings.
I can see why there's Toastmasters tourism, because if you have your kind of home group and you go somewhere else, you want to see what it's like there to be a part of that group. Right. Because we mentioned communication and connection. And also there's this idea now of like, a supportive group, you know, and we mentioned earlier something about aspirational, right? Having somebody that you want to speak to and visualizing that too. And like you just said, oh my God, I've had so many positive experiences. I can't help but feeling positive, you know, and having these associations around there. And I think a big part of that, you mentioned something that we didn't even plan on talking about was, well, you kind of mentioned it earlier. You said, oh, I'm gonna send this out to people who I think I'm gonna get a good message back from, right? So to me, this is what I'm hearing is like, the people who you surround yourself with are super important, right? And knowing like who to be around can then create a situation where you're already mentally feeling great about your language, right? As you said, oh, in Toastmasters, we're not here maybe to do accent or a lot of correction. Well, I want to see what the message is. Like, what is the message? I want to support you for being here. That's why I'm here too, for example. We create that environment to me. So you mentioned also earlier the idea of having like a network and maybe conversation partners and things like that. And I think community as well is super, super important. Like choosing your people people wisely. And so making sure that those people are there to support you and you show up to support them too, I think that can just create this positive feedback loop that is going to really make us all feel really good before we even open our mouths, you know, sometimes. So I think that's super important that you mentioned that.
And there's one thing that I wanted to mention around that community, and mm-hmm. it's that also to be mindful of the leaders, those who are running those communities. There are some communities that maybe they don't necessarily have a leader or a person that is in charge, but if we really like the qualities of those persons, there's a good chance that something good is going to happen there, and it's going to be a friendly, very supportive environment.
Not just the work that it requires to put together these communities or anything like that, but also the qualities of the person themselves, you know, because that can attract the kind of people that you want to be with, you know. So yeah, looking at who are the leaders and what are they about and what are they like, you know, is that something I want to be a part of, can really go a long way into all these other things. So we're talking about the psychology behind, you know, your accent, and a lot of that is not having really anything to do with the accent, right? But it does, because it kind of can directly influence how you feel about it, as we said, and ultimately how you kind of perform, if we can put it that way. Because if you're at ease, you're going to sound much better, right? And since earlier we talked about how you are helping people in Spanish, I know that not a lot of, well, no, let me put this away. So since you're helping people in Spanish, usually, I know you're a polyglot and you can do many languages, but currently you're focusing on helping people with Spanish, especially, as we said, a very specific dialect. But would you do us a favor and tell us how we can find you on your website and your social media? Because it's your name and it has also an interesting little backstory. And then we can tell people how they can kind of listen more about what you're talking about in Spanish if people speak Spanish out there.
Yeah, sure. So my website is walterfreiberg.com. My Instagram account is walter.freiberg, and LinkedIn, you can find me as Walter Freiberg. And I know that his surname might sound complicated, but it's not. It's easy. And it's two words in German. Frei, it's free. Uh-huh. That's the first one. And Berg is mountain. So you can remember it as free mountain in German. Mm-hmm. So you can go to Google Translate or something if you don't know exactly how to write it.
Exactly. I'm going to spell that too. But isn't there something about your first name too? Something, the translation of that as well, and how that kind of all fits together?
Oh, yeah. So this is something that I like sharing. I've been told that Walter, like the etymology, like the meaning of the name, is like the person who leads an army. Mm. And I'm not into war and things like that. I'm quite the opposite, being a Buddhist. Mm. But I created my own meaning that it's, as I said, Freiberg. You can take that as a free mountain or mountain mm-hmm. of freedom. And so I make it mean that the whole name is Walter is like the person who takes or leads people to freedom, to the mountain of freedom. And I like thinking about that in those terms.
Oh, I love that too, because like, yeah, a lot of people think like a leader might have to be loud and opinionated and things like that. But often leaders can be very kind of quiet, like you said, and introverted. And there's a power in that too, you know, that we can see. There's a charisma. There's something about that person, you know, and that's something that like you described yourself as kind of like shy or introverted, but that I've always known you to be very knowledgeable, very thoughtful, you know, as well. So this is the person that I see. And so to me, that's a leader, right? That's a person that you want to follow to the mountain of freedom. I feel like there's certain motivations for all of us, right? And one of those universal motivations is a sense of freedom. You know, I want to feel free to express myself. I want to have the freedom to apply for all these other jobs and things like that. And that could come back to language and accent and identity and all these things. So I feel like it all kind of goes together. So your name is kind of like a real nice symbol for this. So I'm going to spell it for everybody. And then maybe you can just tell us about where we can find your podcast and who might like to listen to that. So I'm going to spell your first name. It's WALTER. Walter. And because the E's and the I's in English are really difficult, and you said it's more of a German root, its last name is F-R. For us, it's going to be letter E-I and then B-E-R-G, because Berg could be B-U, could be B-E, right? And that Fry could be E-I or I-E. So I'm going to spell the last name again, F-R-E-I-B-E-R-G. So this is my friend Walter Freiberg. And tell us a little bit about your podcast.
Thank you, Bianca. So my podcast name is Poder Aprender. So it's in Spanish, and it's on language learning, hobbies, and skill building. And as I always said, this is not for just for natives, it's for anybody who wants to listen to a podcast in Spanish. And that's including Spanish learners and those who learn Spanish. And it doesn't matter when you learn it, if it was when you were a baby or as an adult. So it's, I made this podcast. It's not a podcast to learn Spanish, as I also like to say, but it's just a podcast to, if you, Spanish is your native language, you can use it to learn. And if it's not your native language, you can use it to practice Spanish and to learn other things on the way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I love the podcast format too, because you can listen while you're doing other things. And it was funny because a while ago we were talking about podcasts in Spanish and I said, oh, you know, there's plenty out there, but it's hard to kind of pick the ones. Me as a learner, I'm saying this. And I said, oh, do you know this one called Españolistos? This is one that I listened to. And then you ended up doing like 3 episodes with them. So now I feel like they're kind of crossovers where I get to listen to a couple of my favorite people in Spanish speaking. So if for you guys out there listening to this as a probably second language learner, then you can find another great podcast to listen to in Spanish that you might not have known existed. So Walter, I want to say thank you so much for coming today. I know it's been a while. We shouldn't wait so long between episodes. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention today before we say thank you to the audience?
Just thank you. You're a great host as always. And I really learned, being so passionate about learning, I really like being here with you because I learn about how to conduct a great podcast and how to do all the process. It's always a pleasure to be here with you. Thank you.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, thank you, Walter, because I feel like we've each seen each other grow kind of in this, and we've had our audiences grown, like the people we've been able to connect to. So I feel like thanks to that, we get to stay in touch, you know, professionals for a long time. So I love to support each other. And so thanks again for coming on the show. And thanks you guys for listening to this show today. I hope you got a lot out of it. We had a lot of fun talking to you today, and we'll see you soon. Bye, guys. See you soon.
Bye.
And thanks for listening all the way to the end, everyone. If the topics of identity and accent, mindset and motivation, and fear of judgment really strike a chord with you, please share this episode with someone you think might enjoy it. And if you have a specific topic about accents and pronunciation that you'd like to hear, let me know and I'll try to make it a reality. See you in the next episode. If you found this episode helpful in any way, please subscribe and leave a review. It's actually really helpful to me. Now, before I go, I have 2 tasks for you to do. First, I want you to register and come to my free monthly masterclass. They're on the last Thursday of the month. In just 1 hour, you're going to master a specific American accent skill. For example, the TH sound or rhythm. The Zoom registration link actually changes each month. So the second and maybe more important thing I want to ask you to do is to sign up for my mailing list, because you're going to get the registration link each month and you're going to get bonus materials before and after the masterclass that I only send to my email list subscribers. The email opt-in link is down in the show notes. Be sure to sign up for my mailing list and come to the monthly masterclass for free. I'm Bianca, your personal American accent coach, and I want you to know that your voice is your choice. Thanks for sticking around to the end of the show. I'll see you in the next episode. Bye for now.